Welcome to the Decoder Ring, Systems in Space. This program is designed to help you figure out all the techniques that you can use that people who are extremely successful utilize on a regular basis. Most often what happens, people have a great intention every time they start a week and start a month, but the first phone call distracts them from being able to get all the things done that make their business successful. During this program, the first part is going to be a time when you're going to start and stop the CD so that you can think about what your priorities are and write them down and then type them into a form on an 8.5 by 11 and carry it with you on a daily basis. I really want you to look at this as a changing way of doing your business. So if you have more than enough business, if you have more than enough time, if you have more than enough money, then you probably don't need this program. But if you're missing any one of the three major components, and then the fourth one is having fun. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, you need to change something about the operations of your business. So number one, we're going to look at the focus on what three strengths that you have. Some people are really good at accounting. Some people are great at marketing. Other people are really wonderful with their design of brochures and business cards and setting up tracking systems. Whatever your three top best skills are, that's what you focus on. The things that you're not really great at, make a list of all the things that just slow you down. You don't have fun with it. And then let's find a resource for you to outsource those skills. Because every time I have to do my bookkeeping, I have found that I will end up spending 2 hours procrastinating and futzing around with papers and shifting things around, and then it takes me about a half an hour to do the bookkeeping. Well, if I would just outsource that half hour in the first place, I would save myself 2 hours of my time. So let's look at all the things that you feel are a great opportunity for you to get off of your desk so that you can spend more time doing the things that you enjoy doing. The next point is your vision statement. What do you believe your business vision is? Is it to be the best possible service organization in your industry? Is it to create an innovative way for people to access what it is that you do? Think about how you see your company and the statement that you want people to know about you in your business. Most people confuse the vision statement with the mission statement, and the mission statement is typically what you want people to recognize as your mission in the business. So the vision is the overall long-term effect. I see my business in 5 years helping a business community create the best possible function for youth in the community. A mission statement, however, is something like, our mission statement is to grow the company by 30% by providing the best possible resources for youth to develop their skills. So there's a difference between the mission and the vision statement, and each statement should be written out in a format that you can carry with you, and this is something that you want to look at and remind yourself on an every week basis at least, but usually every day is better. So first thing, spend 10 minutes every day reminding yourself what your priorities are. Your financial statement, and this is something that rarely do people do, but I want you to look at your financial statement. What are all your assets? These are cash assets, equipment assets, might be accounts receivable even. And then what are your accounts receivable or your accounts payable? What money do you owe? When you subtract what you owe from your assets, that gives you your total net worth. Your elevator pitch, this is a huge component, number 5. And one of the things that you want to do is to create an 8-second introduction, which you would use in a small meeting format. This is a feature and a benefit first, because nobody really cares what your name is until they know why they need to care. And then the second pitch is your 30-second pitch. If you have an opportunity to meet, let's say, at a chamber function, and somebody says, well, what do? You don't want to say, well, I'm a CPA and I work with small businesses. You might want to come up with something that actually gave me the idea for the 8-second introduction. Years ago, when I was in an elevator on the Hobart building in downtown San Francisco, there was a man in the elevator when I got on, and he looked at me and he said, hi, my name is Robert. And I said, well, what do? And he says, well, I save people the money they work so hard to earn. First, I thought he was a financial planner. In reality, he was a CPA. So it was the fact that he made me question what he did made him memorable. And that's what you want to do. You want people to walk away remembering who you are and what you do. Now, what I want you to do is write down, number 6, the 3 things that you want, and look at it every single day. What do you want in your business? Do you want more clients? Do you want more freedom? Do you want more cash flow? Do you want to have people working for you? Do you want to expand in other territories? Are there products and services that you want to add to what you do so that you can work less hard and have more people working with you so that you don't have to be responsible for doing all of the business? Your action steps. You want to come up with at least 10 things that you can plan on doing in the next month. What types of things will help you get further faster? Might be to join a leads group so that you have more people out in the community thinking of you when they're working with their clients. It might be that you want to get out and do some speaking engagements so that people begin to recognize your expertise. How about writing an article? If you have an article in a trade publication, it automatically elevates you to a level of success. Or how about if you end up writing a book and getting on radio shows and television shows locally so people recognize your expertise? How about meeting with industry-specific people who can be your power partners? Those are strategic alliances. I always have my Elite Leads members meet at least one new person every single week, because until you actually have 10 people referring you business, you don't have enough referral business. The average person who has 50% of their business referred to them are the people that at the beginning of the month, they know their entire overhead is covered before they start. Then anything over than that is their pure profit. Taking a look at your business and where you started and where it is today, what would you consider your most important values? This is a real critical point for most people in business, but they rarely take a look at it. If you were to analyze the things that you think are your values, like integrity, being prompt, being thought of as a caring individual, somebody who always shows up on time, what is it that you feel are important values to you? And in creating your values, it really needs to be in line with how you run your business. Too often I have found people end up being one person at home with their family and friends and a completely different person when they're out in the business world. Frankly, that's too much work. What I'd like you to do is start thinking about being the same person no matter where you are, that you're consistent, you're congruent, that you're constantly aware that you're exactly who you want to be and not having to pretend that you're somebody different. It is certainly less stressful and a lot more fun to be in business that way. So if you think back to January, what did you want in this year? Did you want your business to grow by 20%? Has it? We're facing the last quarter of the year. Where are you in your business plan? Is there anything that you could do between now and the end of the year that would make sure that you have the right amount of business so that when you do your numbers, you actually are ahead of your game plan? Number 10, what is the dead weight in your life? Do you have people calling you every day who complain about their life and their business? I don't know about you, but I want to run away from people like that. It's too distracting. They get me off course, and then I forget what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. So let's look at the big picture. Only let people in your life when they add to your life. So what is the first thing that you actually need for success? One of the things you might look at is having a clear idea on where you're going. What is your business plan? Do you have a business plan? And if you do, is it just in a drawer, on a shelf? When is the last time you actually looked at it? Do you know what you need in your business plan? Is there an explanation of your business model? Is your competitors' information included? What kinds of information do you have on your competition, and how do you stand out from your competition? Your business plan should also include your experience. Do you have a board of advisors? If you don't, you need to be looking at having people who have connections to be on your board of advisors so they can help you when it's critical times. How about the strategic alliances? They definitely need to be mentioned in your business plan. And why are they your strategic alliance? If you haven't heard from them in 6 months, get new strategic alliances. How about value-added relationships? Who else is selling a product or service who is working with your clients that while you were talking to your clients, you could say, by the way, have you ever thought about this? And it would bring you additional income and bring another person to the table that in return would refer you new business. Do you know what your customer profile is? Is it a big business, a small business, 1 to 50 employees, more than 50 employees? Or are you like 90% of everybody out there in business thinking that you can actually work with everybody on the planet? How about your budget? Do you know how much you spend in marketing, or do you even have a marketing budget? What are you spending on utilities, on printing, on all the things that it takes to make your business operate smoothly? I put into my budget an average of $1,000 every year to buy a new computer because I know every 2 or 3 years I have to replace my computer. So that's one of the things that I like to do consistently so that I don't have to worry about where that money is coming from. So what is your ideal of success? In the 16 years I've been doing Elite Leads, some people tell me it's to have more money. Others think free time. One of my new members actually wants to have his business at the point that he can stop working at 3 o'clock every day to pick up his kids and make sure that he cooks dinner with his children every single day. It doesn't matter what your priorities are or what your ideals are. They're yours, and no one can tell you what it is that you should be doing. I think the biggest mistake most people make is trying to create a business like someone else thinks, that you're busy all the time, you're stressed all the time, because that's what you think business is all about. The fact is, we make up stress. We don't have to have it, and it is a really challenging thing health-wise to have stress in our life on a consistent basis. So let's look at all the different ways you can eliminate stress. One thing is create a lifestyle where you don't have to leave during high traffic times. Another area is to bring more and more people into your sphere of influence that can refer you business. How about status in the business community? You know, there's nothing more rewarding than to come out and do a speaking engagement, inspire somebody to actually do better in their business, and then 6 months later have that person call you, write you, or send you an email and say that something that you talked about made all the difference in the world for their business. So I want to encourage you, look at the things that are important for you in your ideal version of your own success. How about your first priority? Most people think that one of the challenges that they have is money, and money is something that they will apply for in a loan, but they don't actually stop and think that the real way that you have a consistency in cash flow is to have more than enough clients. So how do you get more than enough clients? Do you have a business plan that helps you figure out how to create the kind of marketing effort that gives you the return that will support your business consistently. So every day, my first priority is making at least an hour worth of calls, and I'm calling small businesses that have a relationship in the business-to-business market. When I get four new people put into my database, then I know I have actually completed what I need to do. When I can do more than four, that's a bonus to me. So I keep that in mind every day, and I actually look forward to it. How do you get to know what your best results come from? So do you go to a chamber function and just hang out because there's good food and you get to meet the same people all the time? Do you go to an event and actually look at the different levels of people that are there that can help refer you business? What is it that gives you the most result for the time that you put in to all of your marketing time? Nationally, you have to spend 1/3 of your time marketing your business just to stay even with where your business is today. If you want your business to grow, you're going to have to spend 50% of your time. I often like to recommend that people fire clients that take up time, don't show up, don't do the things they promise to do, and just become a pain in your side. So look at your overall client base. So how are you going to get the results for getting the best possible reputation, the best clients, the best cash flow, what it takes for you to have your business operating as smoothly as possible? Do you know your unique selling proposition? What is the thing that people come back and tell you? I did business with you because. Know this by heart, so that when somebody asks you later, you're going to want to make sure that you're able to relate to them what other people have said. Third-party testimonials coming from you are just as powerful as if you had a letter in writing. One of the biggest issues people have is time management. What tasks do you do every day, every week, and every month that really just waste your time? Do you look at your mail every day? I had an organizational specialist tell me 10 years ago that she only goes for her mail once a week. And I thought, oh my God, I couldn't wait once a week to do that. But actually I do. I go once a week. I learn to get my mail sent to one of the mailboxes, now the UPS store. And I go every single week and I stand there and I throw all of the junk mail in the trash, so I don't even bring it back to the office. Then when I get to the office, I have 3 stacks of mail. The mail that I need to file and go through goes in the second drawer, which I call my junk drawer. And then there's checks and then there's invoices. So those go in 2 separate places. Now, the second drawer, which is my junk drawer, every Monday while I'm making calls, I am pulling that drawer open and emptying it of all the papers so that I know every week I have a clean desk to work from. Time management is one of the biggest issues that will keep people from being successful, because they waste so much time doing tasks and looking for things, making efforts to figure out what they were supposed to do, where they left something. So the more organized that you are, the better productivity you can have. Every January, I will bring in into my office either a time management specialist or an organizational specialist, and I have them watch what I do and make recommendations to help me in my business. One of the greatest things in doing this is I can have somebody look at my operation and be completely removed from the outcome and make recommendations that are more effective because they're not tied to the results. Last year, after must be 12 years of me doing this one task where I make copies of 4 different documents and then collate them, what this organizational specialist said that I should make a copy of the document and make a single document so when it prints, it comes out collated. Now, I'm pretty clever about most things, but to have done that for 12 years and not have caught that just amazed me. That one task math saves me at least a half an hour to an hour every single month. So bring in outside people to help you if you're not an expert in that field. How about tracking and using your database? Most people use their database as a contact manager. No other purpose than just a contact manager. Well, the real beauty of a database is being able to extract information. What went into your database this month? Where did the information come from? Was it a chamber? Was it a personal referral? Was it from a speaking engagement? How did you get that person's name? Are they part of your value-added resources or your joint ventures or your strategic alliances? How do you designate them in your database? If you need help creating a database, we have many people in Elite Leads who can help you with each one of these tasks. And I strongly recommend that if you're not an expert, you bring someone in so that you're not wasting your time figuring it out. Today, you cannot possibly operate a business without a database because there's no way that you can remember 6 months from now who you talked to this week. Your accounting can actually be part of the database. I know a lot of people use QuickBooks and some of the other software programs, but you can actually put that as part of your database so you only have one entry system. Skills improvements is the one thing that they have found on a national basis that if you constantly look at improving your business skills, that your business will grow greater than anyone who is your competition. This is hard to imagine, but the average person in this country only reads one book a year. Most books are available in a CD format, and if you're like me, you probably spend anywhere from 3 to 5 hours a week in your car. I take that time and I actually listen to CDs while I'm driving, and I'm improving my skills constantly. So I'd love to have you look at that as a potential way of being able to improve your skills. There's also classes all over the Bay Area. You can take sales classes, time management classes, communication skills, classes on public relations, writing, speaking. There are so many different ways that you can look at training as being an opportunity to improve the productivity and the profitability of your business. What kind of resources are there for you in developing better business practices? How about a library? You have one of the most incredible areas, I think, in the country. We have a library in almost every major city all around us. And there's business books, there's CDs, there's DVDs. You can check out information on how to change the sound of your voice. Brian Tracy material on sales and leadership. Tony Robbins, Tom Hopkins, Wayne Dyer. Better ways of looking at what's happening in your life. So there is no end to the amount of information that you have available to you. So I call it University on Wheels. Look at the way of taking the time that's generally dead time and using that time to improve your skills and finding a way to be able to have more efficiency and have more fun in your business. Now, typically, what you want to do is have a list of books. And if you don't know the kinds of books and CDs that you want to listen to, what I would do is ask the people around you, what's the latest book you read about business, or is there a CD program that's helped you in the past? I revisited Napoleon Hill's books, and I was flabbergasted because even though I had read them before, after 15 years, I had a completely different perspective on the same information. So maybe revisiting something that has a lot of impact for you. In your organizational skills, I talked about that just a little bit. Does everything have its particular place? I have binders. This was one of the great things that an organizational specialist told me about 8 years ago. I don't know about you, but I end up collecting a lot of magazines in business, and there's articles that I want to read, but I don't get to them right away. So what she asked me to do is rip out the articles that I wanted and then file them in a filing folder. Well, after a while, I had so many file folders that I didn't have enough room, so I ended up getting the window envelopes and putting them in binders and then labeling the binders, PR, marketing, time management, all the different topics that I'm interested in developing my business. Do you spend time searching for things, or do you know exactly where they are? If you bring an organizational specialist in, make sure that they can create a system that works for you. Make sure that you have a junk drawer, like my drawer where I throw my mail into every week when I pick it up, because I know that if it's on the desk, it's going to bother me and I'm going to have to pick it up before Monday, and I don't really want to take the time to do that when I should be doing something important like marketing. When do you answer your email? A lot of people answer their email on a regular basis, like every hour. Well, how about answering it before 8 o'clock and after 5 o'clock? You do not have to do this during business hours. Use 8 to 5 to do things where you know that that's the only time you're going to be in touch with someone. Do you handwrite thank you notes? Well, that's important. If you have received a thank you note in the last month, I would be really surprised. Hardly anybody sends thank you notes anymore, but what a difference that makes. There are so many functions around the Bay Area that you can attend, and you should know why you should want to attend a specific one. Chamber functions are great to meet strategic alliances or remind people who you are, but some of the things that are more productive are going to be the ones where people are receiving funding. You might find an organization that typically has your clients most often there and nobody in your industry there to compete with you. What kinds of organizations are there that would do that? On the Elite Leads website, under territories, there is a page for organizations that actually list about, I would say, 125 different organizations that you can attend as a guest. There's one there for everybody, at least one. So look at the different things that you can do to make sure that you're getting out there in front of more people on a consistent basis so that you don't have to work so hard to get your business. How about trade shows? I love trade shows. One of the things that I have found over the years is that if you go to a trade show, you will be able to meet anywhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 100 people in 4 hours. What else could you do to get in front of 50 to 100 companies in a 4-hour time period and talk to the CEO or the sales manager and get a personal referral to the company's CEO so that you can do business with them if you ask the right questions? How about creating operations manuals? The E-Myth and the E-Myth Revisited is a great book series by Michael Gerber. What Michael says in this book is that if you're an entrepreneur, you need to know that your business is creating income without you having to be there every single day. So if you have to show up to make money, that means you have a job. It's just a job you have created. When you have an entrepreneurial business, the business keeps creating new income for you whether you're there or not. So what you want to do is systemize everything that you could do. I'm always telling people you could actually come to my office and I could hand you my training manual and you could literally run my business with my manual and me not telling you a thing. So my training manual is so complete, anybody could run my business. And one of the nice things about that is sometimes you probably have tasks that you only do once a month. Well, if you put that information into a training manual format, you don't have to wonder how in the heck you did it the previous month and spend twice as long to get it done. Go right back to the training manual and you know exactly what you did the previous month. How about the media and press? Are you using it? Are you sending articles to the different media that pertain to your industry? There's the East Bay Business Times. There's the San Francisco Business Times, the Silicon Valley Business Journal. For some people, it might be the New Brides Magazine, Parents Press. There are so many different ways of using the media. Anytime you accomplish anything, even if you get an award, you can send that information to any of those papers. Use radio stations to get interviews. Establish your expertise and have them call you if there's something that comes up that relates to your expertise. Speaking of expertise, how's your marketing skills? Most people think that marketing is simply creating a brochure and a website. Well, marketing is exposure. Marketing takes a lot of planning and forethought, and it's different for every kind of business. So what kinds of marketing do you do now? Are you going to leads groups? Are you part of the board of directors for an organization that you have a particular interest in? Do you volunteer for events? How about producing an event? There are so many different ways of using your expertise to have people recognize that you have the credibility in the business community, and that's a great way of marketing your business. It goes way beyond doing advertising, which would be the yellow page ads and newspapers and radio. What I want you to look at is developing a full marketing plan. And if you're not comfortable doing marketing plans, again, go to the experts. How about a newsletter? Do you have a newsletter? Well, this is the greatest way to be able to keep your name in front of people. The benefit of the newsletter is that you can make it information-based so that people begin to learn what your expertise is. So you're reminding them every month that you do the newsletter that you are the person that they need to go to. And an e-zine makes it a lot easier because you can actually send this out in an email format. One of the things that just boggles my mind is that I have a sign up on my homepage of EliteLeads.com, and I have people from 11 different countries getting my e-zine. I have no idea what somebody in China is doing with my newsletter, but apparently they heard about it, they found it, they decided they wanted it, and so they get this e-zine every single month. My e-zine actually looks like my newsletter, but it's one page, and you can scroll through it on the computer when it comes through in the email. How about blogs? Why? Well, you know, I'm still out on this one, but I try. I've got two blogs, and I've yet to see any real results. But people who blog love them. There's a couple of resources, eblog.com and blogger.com. They're free. And what you do is use them to create a running dialogue, one-way dialogue, that tells people what your expertise is. Hopefully, what you want to do is to create some controversy that makes people stop and think and respond to you so that they're going to eventually become your client. When you're writing, are you writing articles? Are you doing things to get your name out there on a regular basis? If you belong to a chamber, almost every single chamber has a newsletter. You can write articles for your chamber and get your name in front of a lot of people in a passive nature. And not so passive is the speaking. And I have to tell you, most people do not want to go out and do speaking. It is the number one fear according to the Book of List. And I always tell people that on that Book of List, dying is fifth. So in essence, what that means is that people would rather be in the box than delivering the eulogy. Now that tells you how ridiculous that is. But I was one of those people. In 1992, my mentor took me to a Lions Club meeting. Just before they announced the speaker, he leaned over and he said, "By the way, you're their speaker today." I literally could have crawled under the table, but rather than embarrass him, I got up and I talked for about 20 minutes. And he took me to another speaking engagement that he booked for me every single month for a year. It was the most incredible thing that he could have done for me because it really made me focus on my skills and my talent and gave me an opportunity to be able to expand my expertise, and establish who I am in business. I have so much fun doing speaking, you can't imagine. Once a year, I even get to go on a cruise where I don't even have to pay, and I can bring a guest with me because I am a professional speaker. So the biggest tools that you could possibly use in a reverse order, there's 7 different things. What I want you to look at is number 7, work with people that you enjoy. Life is too short to be working with people who do not believe the way that you do in business skills and management, that they don't show up. Number 6, become a resource for others. The more resourceful you are, the more people will refer to you. The more often they refer to you, the more often they'll think about having you do business with them or someone that they know. Number 5, set the highest example of success. What can you do when you leave every room that you're in to make people recognize that you are the best at anyone in your industry? Number 4, become a mentor. It's one of the most rewarding things that you can do. Mentor someone else until they actually surpass you. And always be looking for a mentor for yourself as well. 3, share your expertise. When you're talking to somebody and they don't have the same level of expertise that you do, offer to help them. Somebody else is going to come along with an expertise that you need, and I'm sure it'll come back to you tenfold. 2, always be flexible. It's hard when you have an idea in mind what you want to happen in your business, and somebody comes along and they decide that that isn't what they want, and you have to shift gears. But keep in mind, the more flexible you are, the less stress you have. And the number 1 tool of all in being successful is to have fun with what you do. Please take the time to look at what you're doing to have fun. You'll notice in the PDF file that there are examples of a time management worksheet. There's an example of my month, what I do. Page 7 is all the things that I have to accomplish every single month. The profit and loss statement, so that you can actually figure out what your net sales are and your expenses so that you know your net worth. In my database, I've created a form here so that you can see the kinds of things that I put in my database. There's technically 138 fields in my database, so this is just one screen that I have to enter the basic information. Another screen is the accounting form. I told you I incorporate all of the accounting with my data entry. Page 11 is a database accounting form, so every time you contact somebody, if you don't want to put it in a database, make a hard copy. On Monday, you should be making 30 dials in a day. You cross them off, and as you look across the form, Monday, how many calls do you do? How many appointments does that make? Did you leave a message? Do you have to call them back? Will they attend a presentation? I've left you an example on page 12. In February, I made 59 dials for Contra Costa County. The name of the person I dialed, the company, I rarely put the phone number because the next column is the source column, which is where did I get this person's name? So I can refer back to that when I need to. Now, I keep track of my leads. If you're in a leads group, I actually have a book for leads just for Contra Costa County, and that's what the page number refers to. So the lead from page 1 and then page 4 and then all of the dials that I'm making for each of those pages, and then what are the results. So you can see at the bottom of the page, 59 dials, I had 23 people say that they would come to Elite Leads. My ratio is almost 40%, which is a great ratio to have. 4 out of 10 people actually say that they would show up. The next page is the analysis of what I'm actually doing. So if you look at the February calls, you can actually see that I had the 59 calls in 2006, 17 were for this Territory 2, which is Alameda, 10 for San Francisco, 4 for the Silicon Valley, T5 was San Mateo, a total of 125 dials for the month. And then out of those dials, you can see for 59, I ended up with 24 guests for Contra Costa, 5 for Alameda, 9 for San Francisco, 21 for the Silicon Valley, which is an amazing number, and 4 for the San Mateo. So 63 guests for the month. Total guests that actually showed up were 29, which is just under 50%, 46%. So this is what I'm saying about how you can actually extract the information from your database. So that's the decoder ring, and I really wish you great success. I hope the 2007 is the best year that you've ever had, and that you're starting now to plan 2008 to be even better. Please feel free to visit the website eliteleads.com, and that's ELITELEADS.com. The phone number is 925-939-1801. This is Sharon Abbott wishing the greatest of all successes and as much fun as you can possibly have. Thank you so much for listening.